instructions up here. It's certainly good to see so many here this evening for this last service of the day. We've had a tremendous time during these past yesterday and, of course, today, and we look forward to tomorrow. I was thinking today of what is said of the Lord Jesus Christ said. I know it's not the last day. You know, he made a tremendous invitation in John chapter 7. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. What a wonderful invitation. Well, it's our prayer tonight that you will heed that invitation and come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, we are looking at a series under the theme, You Belong to the Lord. And on Friday night, we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, where the Apostle Paul makes the sixth time in that short chapter. He says, do you not know? What? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And you are not your own. We looked at, on Friday evening, the tremendous privilege that we have that everyone who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that our body is the sanctuary, the temple of the Holy Spirit. I believe that this is something that is absolutely necessary to preach and to proclaim today. Because a lot of people, a lot of Christians don't understand that the Holy Spirit indwells us. The Lord Jesus said, he shall be with you and he shall be in you. And then yesterday morning we looked at the phrase, you are not your own. The first one is a glorious privilege. The Holy Spirit indwelling the believer. The second one is a sobering reality. You are not your own. You don't belong to yourself, you know. You belong to the Lord. Now tonight I want to look at the phrase that's found, or the next section that's found in verse 20. For you are bought with a price. This is a costly transaction. You are bought with a price. You see, as we who know the Lord rejoice in the fact that we are saved, and salvation is a free gift. But I want to tell you something. Our salvation, as I was just blessed as I listened to the songs tonight that the choir and others sang, and how so many of them dovetailed into the message of the cross. We are saved, yes, salvation is a gift, free. But let me tell you something. We need to remind ourselves that it came at a tremendous cost. It was a costly transaction. You are bought with a price. You know, we're not bought with silver or gold. We know that. How many times that verse has been quoted over the past few days, even today? Peter says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation, the better word is conduct, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Very interesting to notice that he talks about we're not redeemed with silver and gold, the two most precious metals that people will search the world over to find. They will fight, they will kill, they will maim, they will do anything they can to possess these. But God says they are nothing. The thing that he counts most precious is the blood that the Lord Jesus Christ shed at Calvary. Man might think that silver and gold is a precious commodity, but God says they're nothing. Because the silver and gold are mine, he says. The cattle on 1,000 hills. Those of us who are redeemed by the grace of God and by the blood of Christ, one day we're going to walk on streets of gold, transparent gold. And so we're not redeemed with our money. We can't buy salvation. God is too rich to sell, and no matter how rich you may be, you're too poor to buy if you could buy it. We're not bought. We're not redeemed by our family ties. God has no spiritual grandchildren. He only has children. I can't transmit salvation to my children or my grandchildren. Everyone has to come and accept the Lord Jesus for himself or herself. John says in John chapter 1, which were born not of blood, not of human agency, nor of the will of the man, nor of the will of the flesh. You can't will a person to be saved. They've got to receive Christ. You have to receive Christ for yourself. We're not bought with our creeds, our deeds. Some people think that they can achieve this salvation because of who they are, or because of what they do. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're not bought with our ideas and our own ways of doing things. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We're not bought by our own merits. Paul wrote to Titus, he said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has redeemed us, he has saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Salvation, my friends, is something that was bought at great price. And that's why the Apostle Paul here, in stressing the fact that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Christian's body, the believer's body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and stressing the fact that you are not your own because you were bought with a price. What a price. I want to suggest several things about this price. First of all, it was the price of the personal sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. When John the Baptizer was introducing the Lord Jesus on the banks, as he stood on the banks of the Jordan River, there was the Lord Jesus coming towards him. And John looks up and he says, behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Pilate, when the Lord Jesus stood before him, he said, behold the man. Behold your king. But when John, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came to proclaim the voice that was crying in the wilderness, to proclaim this one, he said, here is God's Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. He introduced him as a lamb. Not as a lion, but as a lamb. And those in his audience, the Jewish people, understood exactly what he would be what he was saying. Because they were used to the lamb being offered on the altar. The animal sacrifices that went on at the temple. They understood a lamb taking away sin. There was no doubt what John meant. There was no doubt the implications of that statement. Behold, look intently. Here he is, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. When Abraham and Isaac were ascending to Mount Moriah, where Abraham knew that he was to offer Isaac on the altar, the young man, not a child, a young man, very observant. This was not the first time they had been to offer sacrifices. He understood. He says, my father, here is the wood. Here is the fire. But where is the lamb for the sacrifice? And I'm sure with pain in his heart, yet I believe this was a prophetic statement that Abraham made. He said, my son, God will provide for himself or provide himself a lamb. And I believe that aged patriarch looked down through the centuries to the time when the Lamb of God would be provided. God provided a lamb. When Adam and Eve sinned, God confronted them in Genesis chapter 3. The confrontation was there, and of course, as you know, they tried to pass the buck and blame everybody else but themselves. And then God spoke to the serpent. He says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between her, your seed and her seed. You will bruise his heel. He said, the seed of the woman, you will bruise his heel, but he will bruise. He will inflict a mortal wound upon you. Lamb. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. The Lord Jesus himself understood this very clearly when he was speaking about the Good Shepherd in chapter 10 of John's Gospel. He says, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And then in verse 18 he says, no man taketh my life from me. I have power. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I have received from my Father. He understood his mission. And the Bible tells us when he was coming toward the end of his ministry, he set his face as a flint to go up to Jerusalem, because the cross lay ahead. And as the Lamb of God, he would make a sacrifice for sin. What a sacrifice! He who the scripture says knew no sin, he did no sin. In him is no sin. Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. No guile in his mouth. The confession of the people were this, of those who were sent to him, never man spake like this man. He has done all things well. Everything that they could say about him, Pilate could say three times at least, I find no fault in this man. On one occasion he says, at all. At least three times Pilate said that. And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ, this Holy One, would be offered as a lamb upon the altar. A price, the price of his personal sacrifice. There was no other way. There was absolutely no other way. People said, what about his mighty miracles? His miracles could not save us. What about his wonderful teaching? That could not save us. You see, man is a sinner. Man is a sinner. My friend tonight, without Christ, you are a sinner, a lost sinner, a condemned sinner, and a sinner that's moving as fast as you can on your way to a Christless hell. You are a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and does not sin or sinneth not. Isaiah says, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And it's for your sin and for my sin. The Lord Jesus Christ had to make a personal sacrifice. And there, on that cross, there he was willing, I should say, to go to that cross.
willing to go to that rugged cross, that old rugged cross. And he was willing to become the sacrifice for our sins. The Bible says he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a people for his own, zealous of good works. The Bible says, now once in the end of the age hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And Isaiah 53 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. He had to make it was a personal sacrifice. The Lamb of God would have to die to take away the sin of the world. But it was also at the price of a protracted or drawn out suffering. Peter says in 1 Peter 3:18, for us, he said that Christ also has once suffered for sins. Listen to what he said. He has once suffered for sins. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit. He suffered. Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ, has caused many people to rethink about the sufferings of Christ. Perhaps it has awakened a lot of people to consider the fact that he did suffer. Because Hollywood has never predicted or never has pictured as he did. And if you study the way the Romans would crucify, you'll understand a little better of the way he tried to portray this. The Romans were cruel, inhumane people. And their method of crucifixion, which they derived from the Phoenicians, they perfected, if you could use that term, the whole idea was to make their victim suffer intense, agonizing pain, suffering. That's why Peter says he has suffered. And of course, Mel Gibson perhaps could only, and he only could talk about and portray the physical sufferings. And we sometimes tend to only look at the physical sufferings. And the Bible does give us that picture. For instance, in Psalm 22, as you read that beautiful psalm, beginning with the words the Lord Jesus spoke, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from hearing me and from the voice of my roaring? In Psalm 22, verse 14, David, I wonder what David felt when he wrote this psalm. Under the guidance, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, because the Jews' method of execution was stoning. But he's not talking about stoning in Psalm 22. He said, I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. This, of course, occurred when the cross was lifted up and dropped into that hole prepared for it. Jarring! The already mutilated, and I use that word reverently, the body of the Lord Jesus. With the scourge and the spitting, and the buffeting, and the crown of thorns, and the nails in his hands and his feet. All my bones are out of joint. In verse 15, he says, my strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaves to my jaws. Intense thirst that comes from the intense suffering. He says in verse 16, they pierced my hands and my feet. The Lord Jesus Christ had to have that protracted, that drawn out suffering. And even though the hours on the cross seem short, maybe short to us, but let me tell you something. All that he went through that night, and listen, it seemed like an eternity. What about Isaiah 53? The Bible in Isaiah 53, verse 3, it describes him. He says, I am a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. In verse 4, it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He suffered. Oh, the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Wounded. Bruised. With his stripes we're healed. And I want you to know the context there is spiritual healing. The healing of the soul. Verse 6, it says, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 7 says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted. Verse 10 says, it pleased Jehovah to bruise him. Listen, friends, that should grip your soul tonight. That should grip that it pleased the Father to bruise him. No human being in his right mind is pleased to bruise, to hurt, to mutilize, to mutilate his child. Father, it pleased him to bruise his son. Why? To pay the price that was required for your sin and mine. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make their captain or the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. We'll never, never, never be able to comprehend the physical sufferings. He suffered in Gethsemane. As he prayed, and the Bible says he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. The agony of in the soul of the Lord Jesus Christ was intense, beloved. Such was the agony of his soul as he cries out, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. He suffered in Gabbatha, Pilate's judgment hall, and he suffered on Golgotha. On that cross, it was the price of his personal sacrifice, of his protracted or drawn-out sufferings. But then thirdly, there was the price of plenary or complete, full or complete separation from God. At noon, the Father pulled the switch. And the Bible says in Matthew 27, and from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness. Darkness. darkness, intense darkness that could be felt. No thunderings, no lightning. Darkness. At noonday, over all the land, one of the gospel writers says, over all the earth, darkness. You see, man had done his worst. They had spit upon this one. They had blindfolded him and they had punched him in the face. Isaiah 52 says his visage was so marred more than any man's. They had mocked him. They had laughed at him. They had scourged him. They had put the crown of thorns on his head. They had put that reed in his hand. They had bowed the knee to him in mockery. They took that reed and they swatted him over the head with it. Nailed him to the cross. God said, it's enough. There was the darkness. The only thing that perhaps was heard was maybe the groans from the prisoners and the dripping of the blood. Darkness. My friend, let me say to you tonight, you're here and you do not know Jesus Christ. You've never surrendered your life to Him. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ went through that darkness for you, so that you would not have to go out into eternal darkness. You see, you're in darkness at this very moment. You're here, you can see, but you're in spiritual darkness. The Bible says the God of this age has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. My friend, tonight you're in darkness. Jesus wants to bring you into the light, to bring you out of the darkness of sin and degradation and shame. But if you reject this blessed one, the Bible says there is a time when you will go out into outer darkness. Eternal darkness. Yes, there will be the flames of hell. But you will be in a state of perpetual darkness. Darkness. The Bible tells us that about the ninth hour, just toward the end of the darkness, this would be about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and the priests would be getting ready for the offering of the evening sacrifice. Jesus cries that cry that is repeated from Psalm 22, and he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? You see, as we heard in one of the earlier messages, it was during this time that the Lord Jesus Christ not only bore our sins, but He became sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, He who knew no sin was made sin for us. And all of the filth and all of the stench and all of the ugliness of man's sin, of all of man's sin, He became that. I remember hearing Billy Graham one time preach on this. He said, at that moment He became guilty of our sin. And then God punished Him for our sin. He who knew no sin. He who did no sin, in Him is no sin. He became sin for us. That's why out of the darkness the blessed Lord Jesus Christ said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Psalm 22 verse 4 gives the answer. For thou art holy. Thou art holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. A holy God could not look upon the ugliness and the filthiness and the disgrace of the sin of man. When the punishment of God, the wrath, the judgment of God fell upon his. And that intimacy that was in the Godhead, that intimacy that is seen in the first cry that Jesus made, when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, is no longer there. And at that moment, the Bible tells us that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. We sometimes say, yes, Jesus bore it, bore in love unbounded what none can know. There was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Another hymn writer puts it in a hymn that we sing at the Lord's table, there through thine hour of deepest woe, thy suffering spirit passed, grace there its wondrous victory gained, and love endured at last. Jesus, our blessed Lord, was made sin for us. But praise God, he also paid the price. He took my place. Is it any wonder why the Apostle Paul could say, you're bought with a price? What a price! This was a plenary or complete or a full separation from God. The Lord Jesus did this. He was forsaken so that we might not be forsaken. He was left alone so that we might not be left alone. He was in that darkness so that we might not go into darkness and remain in a state of darkness. He bore our sins alone in the darkness, so that we might walk in light. But lastly, it was the price of painful sin-bearing. This dovetails with what I've already said. You see, he had to go to the cross. There are a lot of people today, even in Christian circles, want to bypass the cross. You can't bypass the cross. My friends, if you go to hell, you've got to step over the cross. Those people who have gone into a lost eternity had to step over the cross and trample, not literally, but trample underfoot the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed at Calvary. You cannot bypass the cross. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2, who his own self bare in his own body our sins on the cross. He did it. Isn't it wonderful we can sing, Jesus paid it all. Hallelujah. All to him I owe sin. It left a crimson stain. Praise God, he washed it white as snow. His was a sinless sacrifice. Yes, the sinless one became sin for us. Paul, writing to the church in Galatia, he said, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God his Father. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, so this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. His was an acceptable sacrifice. You know, all of the animals, all of the blood that was shed upon the Jewish altar, in the tabernacle and in the temple, the gallons, you know, I don't want to even use a figure, but you know, the blood that was shed, the Bible says this, they could not take away sin. Could not. It could atone, could cover. But every time there was a remembrance of sin made, every time, even on the Day of Atonement, but God says promised. And he says, the blood that Jesus shed at his sacrificial death at Calvary was accepted. Ephesians 5 says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and he gave himself for us as a sacrifice to God of a sweet-smelling savor. It was an acceptable sacrifice. Not all the blood of beasts, says the hymn writer, on Jewish altar slain, could give the guilty conscience peace or take away his stain. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, bore all our bears, all our sin away, a sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. Believing, we rejoice to see this curse removed, and bless the Lamb with cheerful voice and sing redeeming love. It was an acceptable sacrifice, accepted by God. And praise God, it's a finished sacrifice. Completed. The Lord Jesus Christ made a second cry, Matthew tells us. Matthew doesn't give us what he said, but he said, he cried again with a loud voice. But hallelujah, the Holy Spirit in John chapter 19 and verse 30, the Holy Spirit lets John fill us in. And the cry was this, it is finished. Tetelestai, finished, meaning paid in full. The price paid. My friend tonight, if you owe a huge amount of money and some kind person came along who could afford it and said, listen, I understand the state that you're in. I am willing to pay this debt for you. With no strings attached, you would be so grateful. But you and I have a greater debt of sin. It's a debt that we can never pay. As the beautiful chorus says, he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to take my sins away. Praise God. That someone was the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And on that cross, when he cried, it is finished, it was paid in full. And the price was paid. The price. Paid in full. You'd be most foolish if you owed a huge amount of money and some kind person came to say, I will pay this debt with no strings attached. And you say, no, I'll try to do it myself. I appreciate your offer, you know. That's exactly what some people here in Spanish Wells and wherever you go, they're doing the same thing. God says, here is salvation. It's free. It's paid for. The blood of Jesus Christ has been offered and accepted, and the debt is paid, and all you have to do is to accept it. No strings attached. Just come. Receive. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right, the power, the authority to become the children of God. All you have to do is to receive it. And yet there are some people who will insult the God of heaven by saying, I'll work for it. I can merit it. There are some people who say and teach that in the end, man will not have to suffer eternally, that he will be annihilated. No. When man rejects what the Lord Jesus Christ did for him, that price, that tremendous, that stupendous price, and I can't even find the words to describe it, but just the price that he paid, if man rejects the Lord Jesus Christ, then he will have to accept the full penalty of his sin that Jesus bore at Calvary. He will have to accept it and bear it for eternity. The Bible says in John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know what that verse is saying? That if you've not accepted Christ, you have already had the sentence passed upon you, and you're only waiting for it to be executed. Already condemned. He that believeth on him is not condemned or judged, but he that believeth not is condemned already. My friend, let me tell you something. If you're here without Christ, you're already under the judgment of God because you haven't accepted Christ. And at death, the sentence will be carried out. And to us who know the Lord, I want to challenge us from God's word as he's been challenging us tonight. Listen, we are bought with a price. Salvation may be free, but it comes at a great price, or it came at a great price. As I close this message, I want to ask you tonight, as first of all, every one of us who name the name of Christ, God help us to appreciate afresh what our blessed Lord has done for us. That's why. That's why. As the hymn writer says, love so amazing, so divine, shall have, some say, demands everything that I have. And I want to ask us at this moment to close our eyes in a word of prayer. Bought with the price. The friend, tonight, without Christ, I want to challenge you from God's word. The price has been paid, but what have you been doing with it, with the salvation God has offered you? Are you still rejecting? Are you still turning your back on the Savior? The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. The Bible says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. God said to his erring people and sinning people in Isaiah 1:8, Jesus, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. As we pause quietly here, I wonder tonight if there's someone here and you have never yet accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Would you tonight like to receive this one who paid such a price for your sins? Would you like to receive him? As Christians are praying and your heads about, just lift your hand up and say, I want to receive the Lord Jesus as my Savior tonight. Not tomorrow, now. Just put it up where we can see it. That doesn't save us, but it just indicates that there is a concern in your heart, in your life. Someone tonight, God is touching your heart through the message. Will you receive to the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Someone? Maybe. Maybe. You are a professing Christian. But your life, frankly, is a mess. You've gotten away from the Lord. You've been living a life of your own. Listen, if you really belong to the Lord, my friend, listen, it's time to get yourself straightened out with God. Maybe you're a professing Christian tonight and you need to get your, make a fresh commitment of your life to the Lord. Is there someone here before we go to prayer? You may not raise your hand, but you may be concerned. Listen, there are people who would love to sit with you after this meeting with the open scriptures under the guidance of the Holy Spirit point you to the Savior. Father, we thank you for your precious word tonight and for the price that the precious, our blessed Lord Jesus Christ paid for us at Calvary. Oh, our Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you tonight for paying the price, the supreme price. Lord Jesus, we just pray tonight that we who know you will make a fresh commitment of ourselves to you this night. We will seek to live for thee and to love you and to praise and to give you the glory in everything that we say and do. For those that are here tonight who were not saved, Lord, you know their heart. Or maybe they're out of touch with you. We pray tonight, oh blessed Lord, that they will